Well, I decided to stay in the letter of James for another week. Maybe more, we'll have to see. We'll see how the Spirit leads, of course. And I know I've spoken on this passage before when the lectionary has taken us here before, but this is one of those ones that I think does us well to keep in mind. And as I was looking at the text, of course, you can see what the direction I was going in with a sermon title of Only You Can Prevent Those Fires. I'm sure for many of you at this point, you now have a visual image of a cartoon bear poking its finger at you saying, only you can prevent forest fires. Watched a comedian once who, when he was younger, misunderstood that and thought he was responsible. He himself was the only person responsible for all forest fires and thought as a young person, who, me? No, we're not responsible for all fires. We're just responsible for our own. James has a lot to say about how we live our lives, and it's no surprise to me that the committee that put together the lectionary has Proverbs being read at the same time as we're reading in James. James talks about wisdom, and later on he talks about wisdom even more explicitly than he does here, but at this point he's talking about our tongues. And this is a familiar passage, I think, to many of us, where James talks about the danger that a tongue can do or the damage it can do. Sometimes we get all fixated, perhaps, on some of the later parts where he talks about things in this either-or. We either speak blessing or we speak cursing, and we think, well, I'm not somebody. I don't call down curses on anybody's head. I don't use that kind of language. It's more colloquially referred to as cursing. But James is talking a whole lot more about that. And he's talking about the power of the tongue and what it can do. And it's something that we underestimate at our peril. I'm sure all of us, when we were growing up, heard that little chant, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's well-meaning, but it's completely wrong. I've had my bones broken, not lots of them, but my nose broken a bunch of times. But on the whole, I don't think of that really from one day to the next, one year to the next. Broken years ago, who cares? But there are still some names that I was called when I was in elementary school that if something reminds me of it out of the sort of corner of my mental eye, I'll wince even now, decades later. Names. The words we use do hurt people. And I don't think James is being too hyperbolic when he says that the tongue can start a fire just like a spark can. And I like his image of a spark. I like sparks. They're interesting. They're fun. I remember when I was little discovering that some rocks, if you hit them together, you got a spark. Pretty, but it's this little tiny thing, and you think, well, what could a spark do? Well, sparks, a single spark, if everything is just right, can start a forest fire. A single spark can start something that's completely out of proportion with the size of the spark. And our words can do the same. Many of us, maybe even all of us, have been injured by words that had no intention of injury. Those throwaway remarks that a teacher or a parent might have said. I find it interesting that James begins this section saying that not many of you should presume to be teachers, because being a teacher has a tremendous amount of responsibility, whether you're teaching in the church, as it said in the translation that Lee read, or whether you're teaching anywhere. And parents are the same, and older siblings are the same. People in any position of responsibility and authority, however tenuous that might be, have a tremendous responsibility, because what we say can make a difference in the lives of somebody else without us ever even intending it. Most of us have also had the experience of someone coming to us and saying, do you remember when we had that talk way back when? And I've told you how this had happened to me when I was working with students, that every once in a while one would get in touch with me some period of time later and say, do you remember that conversation we had? My usual response is, well, no, I don't. I had lots of conversations with people. I remember you. I may not remember that particular conversation. And they'll say, well, that thing you said to me made all the difference in the world. And we don't remember that at all. Most of us use a lot of words every day. But the reverse is also true, and people don't always come and talk to us about those. That a chance remark we made about the way somebody looked, the way they expressed themselves, whatever it might be, wounded them deeply. We didn't intend the wound. We didn't intend to hurt them at all. We were just maybe making conversation. Maybe we thought we were being funny. But we started a fire there. It was just from a spark. Those words that we use have tremendous power. And it's not an either-or kind of thing. It would be helpful if it was. It would be helpful if all of our words quite clearly fell into one of two categories: good and bad, fresh water and salt water. But it's not that straightforward. Think of your own family relationships. Depending on what your relationships are like with your siblings, I'll only speak for me and my brothers. We can call each other things that we're not going to call anybody else. And it's not intended to wound, and it doesn't wound. We're all men. It's this peculiar kind of thing that men often do, demonstrating how much they love each other by the insults they call each other. But what if we unthinkingly use those same kinds of words to someone else? How do we prevent that? Well, we prevent an unthinking word by thinking. We prevent this unthinking conversation by paying attention to what we say. The easy way out of this, of course, is to never say anything at all. Be so worried about saying the wrong thing that we don't say anything. The problem, of course, is that by not saying anything, you're saying something anyway. Communication isn't all verbal. Our psalm talks about that. The heavens are telling the glory of God, but their voice isn't heard because they don't use voices like we do. If you decide you're never going to say another word, you're going to offend all kinds of people. So that's not the answer. The answer is to be aware of the power of language, to be aware of the power of your words to build up and to destroy. And the same words in different contexts can have completely different results. So we need to think about what we say. But thinking's not enough, because we don't know enough. Part of what will enable us to be people who speak words of life, speak words of encouragement to the people around us, is by paying attention to that inner voice that we have that comes from the Holy Spirit. When we moved into this relationship that we have with God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit came along. The Holy Spirit isn't a bully. The Holy Spirit won't force you to do things, even if we want the Holy Spirit to. Sometimes that would be convenient. It would be convenient if I was physically incapable of saying an unkind word. But it doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit works with us. And often, if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to consider our words, if we're willing to think about what we might say and what it might mean to someone, often the Holy Spirit will take those moments, those split seconds before we say something, to give us a little nudge in one way or another. There have been times when I've felt that nudge to not say something or to say it in a different way, and I've ignored it and I've gone right along. And those are the things that I've had to apologize for later. Those are the things that I've said that have damaged relationships, that have taken time to repair, as all damage does. Those are the times that make me regret what I said. And there have been times when I felt that little nudge to not say that or to say it in a different way, and I've listened. And I have just not said it at all. I've given up the opportunity to be funny, to make a witty remark, at least what I think is a witty remark. Or I've changed what I was going to say in some way. And you know, I've never regretted one of those, ever. I've never gone to somebody and said, you know, I was going to say this unkind thing before and I didn't, so I'm going to say it now. That's ridiculous. Nobody does that. But if I ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit, the chances of me starting a fire with the spark of a word is so much higher. If I ignore the experience that I have, painful and hard won as it is, that there are some things you just don't say to people, then I'm going to start fires. And I can blame the other person all I want for being too sensitive, for being too this or too that, but that's like a spark blaming the tinder for being too dry. When my words hurt you, it's not your fault. It's never your fault. It might not be my fault either. I might just not have known. But it's my responsibility. The Holy Spirit will provide the guidance that we need to be the people we want to be and to help us become the people we were created to become, but only if we listen. For those of us who talk a lot, listening is hard. One of the most disconcerting things you can do if you're somebody who talks a lot is be in conversation with somebody who actually listens. Because you have all these strange gaps in the conversation. Because when you're finished talking, then they're finished listening, and then they start thinking about what they're going to say. Unlike me, who seems to spend all of my time thinking about what I'm going to say next, whether I'm talking or not. It's a hard thing to learn how to do. But it's tremendously rewarding to listen to what people actually say. And to listen not just with our ears, but with our eyes and see how people are holding themselves. What is their body language telling us? All of those things can work together to help us not start the fires that only we can prevent. This isn't easy. And this isn't intended for any particular person here, by the way, just in case you're wondering, what did I say to him that made him preach a whole sermon on this? That's not the case at all. The lectionary took us to this text, and I thought this is something we all need to be reminded of, whether we talk a lot or we talk a little. Actually, for people who don't talk very much, your words are even more important than people like me who talk a lot. Because if you don't speak very often, people listen carefully when you do. But really, people listen to us talking whenever we talk. And we have a responsibility to do everything we can to make sure that our words are life-giving, life-affirming, encouraging, challenging words, whatever they might need to be. And that's too much for us to do on our own. So we need to explicitly invite the Holy Spirit to inform what it is that we say to people. The Holy Spirit will do that. And I think you'll find, as I have, that the more I listen for those little nudges, or the more I pay attention to the possibility that what I say might not go the way I want it to, the better I am at hearing those. None of us want to start fires in the wrong place. Not literal fires, of course, and not metaphorical fires either. And sometimes it seems almost unfortunate that we've been given this blowtorch of a tongue that can seems to be able to set fire to anything if we're not careful. But as James says, it's that same tongue that we can praise our Lord and Father. It's the same tongue that we can pronounce blessings on people. And if we're willing to put in the work to listen to people and to listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll find that we're doing that far more often than we're starting fires that we then have to put out with apologies and making amends. Only you can prevent those fires. But you're not alone when you're trying to prevent them. The Holy Spirit has given us what it is that we need and will continue to give us what it is that we need to do the things that we are called to do, which is to live lives that bring glory to God, that build up those around us, that are encouraging and comforting. If we're willing to set our minds to that, it will happen. We may still set the occasional fire. But when you don't set fires very often, it seems they're easier to put out. I pray that each of us this day and every day will invite the Holy Spirit into our lives in ways that affect everything that we do, not just what we think and believe, but what we do and what we say. Amen.